Yeah, that was very salty. Thank you. trying to tie it into the sermon here. That was very salty. So, gosh darn it. If I move, you guys are going to hear that static the whole time. I'm afraid that's going to happen.
I got something too for you, Don.
Yeah, because I don't have enough problems already. Thank you, Rick. Oh, we should have rehearsals. All right, so in our scripture, Jesus says, we are the salt of the earth. He doesn't say we could be the salt of the earth if we go to Salt and Light University or something like that. If we try real hard, no. He says we are salt. Now, salt doesn't live into itself. All right, when's the last time that you had a meal and you said, wow, this is really great salt? Is it? No, I'm not talking about the salt shaker, okay? I'm talking about the salt. This is just the best salt. I got to get me some of this salt at my house. I wish I had salt like this. See, salt's calling is to lose itself in something bigger than itself, something more glorious than itself. In Genesis 12, God makes it clear when he calls Abraham, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. All the families on the earth will be blessed because of you. That's the pattern you see in Scripture. You see that all the time in Scripture. God blesses us so we can be a blessing. God forgives us so we can forgive. God loves us so we can love. See how it's got a nice little pattern to it? Nice little rhythm to it? You just start right. You understand God is blessing us so we can be a blessing to others. Jesus is saying that here in chapter 5. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything. See, it's not complicated. Salt is meant to be used. And it's useless if it's not used. Or if it gets mixed up with other kinds of stuff, and then it's no longer salt. It's the same thing with our faith. It's the same thing with our faith. Salt brings out the flavor of food in a marvelous way. Nobody keeps salt around just to have salt. All right, if you come to my house and you ask me, Don, can you please pass the salt? I'm not going to say, well, no, we don't actually pass it. We don't really use it. We just put it on the table. You're going to think I'm crazy. Well, you may think I'm crazy anyway, but you're going to say, just pass me the... And you look at Diane and say, boy, your husband. Same with our faith. We don't just keep our faith to keep our faith. We're supposed to share our faith. We use our faith. We help with our faith bring people's lives, the flavor of their lives come out in order. If we do not share our faith, people, we will lose it. When AA was getting started, Bill W. was going through these steps, a little Christian group up there in New York called the Oxford Group. They were at the Calvary Episcopal Church there in New York. Pastor Sam Shoemaker, and he introduced Bill W. to Jesus. And Bill admitted that his life was unmanageable and that he was powerless. And Bill admitted and came to believe that a power greater than himself could restore him to sanity. He turned his life and his will over to the care of God. He did a fearless and searching moral inventory, admitted to God himself and one other human being the exact natures of his wrongs. He became willing to make amends and then made amends. He went through all of these steps. He still had one more discovery to make. That would become the difference between life and death for him. Bill was at a hotel in Akron, Ohio. He had been following God for some time. He had been sober for some time. But he was lonely. It was the day before Mother's Day, which was a painful day for Bill. He had been abandoned by his mother, deserted by his mother, decades earlier. And Bill stood in the hotel lobby. And there in that hotel lobby at the one end, there was a bar. And in his loneliness and in his self-pity, he said, oh God, I'm going to get drunk. And a thought came to his mind. It's the strangest thing. As he was thinking about how his mother had deserted him and all that pain and all that bitterness and all that resentment and all of that was welling up inside of him, the thought that came to Bill wasn't, I need a drink. The thought that came to Bill was, I need another alcoholic. I need to tell my story. And he called this church, and this church says, we have an alcoholic. It's true. He was a hopeless alcoholic. His name was Bob, called himself Dr. Bob. So Bill went to see Bob. He tells him his story. He talks about this amazing journey he had been on, how he had met God, and a wonderful thing happened. As Bill is sharing his story, Bob accepts Jesus. Amen. Isn't that a great thing? That's a great thing. And then the two of them, Bill W., Dr. Bob, start AA, 1935. People have been in recovery ever since. Because one guy had the courage to share a struggle with another guy who knew exactly what that felt like. Because one person shared their faith in Jesus, and somebody else said, I need that. I want that. See, the thing is, Bill W. didn't go to Bob to save Bob. Bill W. went to save Bill W. Yes. Bob was just the vehicle. Bob was the instrument that allowed Bill W. to save himself, and in the process, Bob got saved too. Isn't that amazing the way that can work? In our own life and in our own faith story, that's the way it works. Mormons, you've seen Mormons go door to door to door to door to door. Do you know how effective their evangelism program is? It's terrible. It's terrible. No one becomes a Mormon because somebody knocked on their door. And you say, well, why do they do it? Because it strengthens their faith. When you repeat your faith story to someone who is not yet heard, it strengthens their faith. That's why they do that. We are salt, because if we do not share ourselves, our faith will lose its aliveness. Our lives become bland. Our faith becomes bland. And when all of that becomes bland, all of a sudden we find ourselves tempted to use salt substitutes. You ever use a salt substitute? Does it taste like salt to you? No. Now, most of us, of course, don't want to share. You know how it is. You say, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. People don't like to share. Remember that? God calls Moses. Remember, God calls Moses? And what does Moses say? Moses says, I'm disinclined to acquiesce to your requests. Means no. How'd that work out? What did Jeremiah say? Jeremiah said, I'm too young. What did Abraham say? Abraham said, I'm too old. People were always telling God, no, don't think you're all clever because you told God no. All right, but let me tell you, the master of resistance, I think, at least in the Bible, the patron saint of resistance had to be a guy by the name of Jonah. Remember that? Word of the Lord comes to Jonah. God says to Jonah, could you, would you go to preach? Would you, could you go to reach the people in Assyria? For you fit my criteria. And Jonah says to the Lord, I would not go there in a boat. I would not go there on a float. I would not go there in a gale. I would not go there in a whale. I do not like the people there. If they all died, I would not care. I will not go to that great town. I'd rather choke. I'd rather drown. I will not go by land or sea. So stop this talk and let me be. That's the book of Jonah in a nutshell. Now, Jonah had issues, unlike us. None of us here have issues. We're all fine. See, the thing is, people, it's not really about us. It isn't. It's not what we do. It's what God does through us.
Amen.
That's where it happens. We're the instrument, that's true. We're the salt, that's true. But we're just the salt. It's not about us. It's about our faith. It's about sharing. That's what it's about. And people say, well, I'm afraid. What are you afraid of? Really? Failure? I already know you. This won't be the first time you failed. You failed before. You want me to go through the confession again with you? No. We've all failed before. What's the worst that can happen? Really? I did some research. Did you know that in West Palm Beach, no one, as far as I could tell, and I've got contacts in the sheriff's office, as far as I could tell, no one's ever been arrested in West Palm Beach for inviting someone to church.
Amen.
It's true. I've done the research. No one in West Palm Beach has ever been put to death or tortured for inviting someone to church. For sharing the gospel. It's never happened. So say we're talking to somebody and we invite them to church. What's the worst that can happen? Really, what's the worst that can happen? They say no. Won't be the first time you've heard no now, is it? Have you not been turned down before?
Yep.
It won't be the first time you've heard the word no. Don't pretend. All right? You've heard the word. You all didn't get ponies for Christmas, okay? All right? You've heard the word no before. You know, and sometimes they might say, well, you know, I'm kind of new to the area. Here's what you say. I wrote it down. Great. This would be a great time to come. Or they might say, things are a little bumpy in my life. You know what you say? Great. This would be a great time to come. Or they might say, we've got little kids. It's a little chaotic. And what do we say? Great. This would be a great time to come. We forget sometimes how important it is. People need God. People need God. Being salt means that we are introducing people to the love of God, to a God of love and grace and welcome and acceptance. Being salt, people lets people know that about Jesus, and that kind of love changes people. Just as salt changes the flavor of food, introducing people to Jesus changes the flavor of their lives. Being salt means serving people with the love of God. Matthew 25, you hear, as you did it to the least of these, my brother. Remember how that goes? You did it unto me. Does Jesus say you need to go out and be Jesus to people? No. We don't go out there to be Jesus to people. What we find out is that when we're out there, we meet Jesus. Because that's where Jesus is. It's not about us being Jesus. It's about us finding Jesus. We meet Jesus when we're involved in the mission of Jesus. The purpose of life is not to be a sponge. It is not just to soak it up. It's to give. It's to share. I mentioned earlier Sam Shoemaker, the minister of that church in New York. And you know, sure enough, all these drunks started showing up in his group and in his church. And you know, they didn't look good. They didn't smell good. They didn't dress right. They didn't act right. They didn't talk right. Weren't very polite. And the people in the church, they really weren't too crazy about this. This wasn't what their idea would be about being a church. You know, the last thing you want to do when you say everybody's welcome is to have everybody come. You feel like saying, well, I didn't really mean it. I just, you know. But Sam used this great metaphor. Sam said this. He says, I stay near the door. I neither go too far in nor stay too far out. The door is the most important door in the world. It is the door through which men walk when they find God. There is no use my going way inside and staying there. when so many are still outside and they crave to know where the door is. And all so many ever find is a wall where there should be a door. The most tremendous thing in the world is for people to find that door, the door to God. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are a beacon of God's love and grace." Amen.